I'm so glad that you're joining with us, whether you're in person or online, as we kind of continue on in this series, The Seven Deadly Sins. And if it's your first Sunday here, I'm really glad that you are here. We want to welcome you here as well. And for this series, what we are doing is not only looking at the seven deadly sins, which are bad and deadly and sinful and harmful and all of that, but we're really actually looking at is their opposite virtue as well. That the whole point of the series is not to make people feel guilty for sins, but instead to see people freed and forgiven from sins. Because this is just true. If there is pride, if there is sloth, wrath, envy, greed, or gluttony in our lives, the truth is those things hurt and harm our lives rather than helping our lives. Like, we need to be rooted out. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk about a sin that is really, really common in our world, a sin that is sometimes actually even celebrated in our world, a sin that kind of worms its way into our hearts and into our behaviors and into our practices, and it's one that really runs the world. Today, what I want to talk about is the sin of greed, actually. That's what I want to take a look at, the sin of greed. But as always, we're not just going to be taking a look at the sin of greed. We also want to take a look at its opposite. And what is the opposite of greed? Yeah, I hear it. Generosity is the opposite of greed. And so we're going to be talking both about how greed is really self-destructive and how if you have greed in your heart, this is just true. It will ruin relationships. It will just ruin your life in so many ways. And we want to talk then not only about how greed is wrong, but the opposite as well, how generosity frees you up to actually experience more of God in your life than ever before. So does anyone here want to encounter God more in their life? Right? Then what we need is to actually have that posture of generosity. And so to begin with, what I want to do is give to you a short definition on what greed is. We're going to take a look at a number of different scriptures here today about what the Bible says about greed. And then most of all, we're going to be focusing in at the end about the importance of generosity. So first, a simple definition of greed. Here's my definition of greed. That greed is loving money and material possessions too much. That greed is loving money and material possessions too much. And that's really what greed is. And that word too much is important. Because notice in that definition, greed is not about having too much. It's about loving money and material possessions too much, which means you can be greedy if you have a lot of money, or you can also be greedy if you have a little bit of money. That greed doesn't, that the size of your bank account doesn't determine whether or not you're greedy. The real thing is we have to check is the desires in our heart. It's wanting money and it's wanting those things too much. And the Bible's really clear that this is not helpful. This is not healthy and it's certainly not holy if we would have that greed a part of our lives. I want to show with you five different scriptures here today that talk about greed. There are Colossians 3:5, Ephesians 3:2, 1 Corinthians 5:11, and then we're going to take a look at the end what Jesus says with Luke 12-15 and Matthew 6-24. So these are the scriptures we're going to be in here today to talk a little bit about greed. I want to begin with Colossians 3:5, and we read this. So put to death, Paul's speaking with pretty direct language, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. That basically what he is saying, and this is just true, there is junk a part of our hearts and a part of our lives often. Just the process of living, we have this. And he says, put to death these things. And he names some of them. He says this, have nothing to do with the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. And then he says this, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. But here what Paul is really saying is he's teaching us that when we allow greed into our hearts, when we start to follow greed, actually what ends up happening is we start following a different God. That greed, at its heart, is not just about bad or wrong behaviors. Greed at its heart is actually about misplaced worship. That greed will become the thing that really worms its way into our heart, and it will not help us. Paul speaks really clearly about this as well in Ephesians 3, verse 2. Notice how clearly he speaks about it. He says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. You want to say amen to that? Right? Like, such sins do not have any place amongst God's people. Imagine if we took this line as seriously as we take some other lines within the Bible, where it says, there should be no greed among you. Paul says that greed should not be a part of our hearts, that greed should not be a part of our churches, that greed should not be a part of our posture, that it's not something that is healthy or holy. And Paul goes even further in 1 Corinthians 5:11, and he says this, I meant that you are not to even associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worshiping idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. He says, don't even eat with such people. He's talking really directly about how bad greed is, so much so that we have to be careful about even associating with people who are greedy. That's what it says here. I mean, that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer. Don't even eat with such people, he says. Jesus talks about greed, but he puts it a bit more positively in this verse in Luke 12, verse 15. He says this, beware, guard against every kind of greed. guard against every kind of greed. And then he says this, life is not measured by how much you own. Anyone want to say amen to that? Right? Like, life is not measured by how much you own. It simply isn't. Here Jesus teaches us two things, really. One, he teaches something that goes directly against the current culture. And secondly, he teaches something that I think you all kind of realize in your own lives if we think about it. The first, what Jesus is saying, is kind of directly opposite of what our world teaches. Our world basically teaches the more you have, the better off you are. That's kind of how our world functions. Our world is consumeristic. Our world just says you need more and more and more and more. And that's what greed is, silently really speaking to us, saying we need more and more and more and more. But Jesus is really clear. He says life is not measured by how much you own. And I think that this is something all of us would recognize if we would pay attention to it and think about it deep down, that I bet you know that you have met people, likely, who have less than you but seem happier than you. Anybody ever experienced that before? Right? You probably also did the flip side, where you've met people who probably have more than you, and yet they don't seem happy or whole or healthy. They seem like stingy, and they're, to kind of use an old word, they're like a curmudgeon. Isn't that a great word? Curmudgeon? They're curmudgeonly, is actually how you make it into an adjective. That's a grammar lesson for this morning. There you go. Woo. I'm also going to be making up a word, too. I think that greed should be termed greeding. I think if you have greed in your heart, it should be termed greeting. So that's my words for grammar here this morning, okay? But really, really what Jesus is saying is runs so countercultural to our lives. He says life is not measured by how much you own. But greed is so, so prevalent in our hearts and in our world that I think it's really hard for us to escape kind of the grasp of greed. Greed just talks about more and more and more. I'll give you an example of how it can be a part of our lives sometimes without even noticing it. My bet is that today, for many of you, I can give to you the number you would need in your bank account to actually feel safe and secure, okay? The amount of money you would need to feel safe and secure with your bank account. Do I want to take a guess what that number would be? More is the answer. That is it. More than you have, amen? Right? Like, that's what often makes us feel safe and secure. It's having more and more and more and more. But that drive for more is just the god of greed. And if we follow it, it'll lead us away not only from Christ, but it will ruin our relationships. This is what the Bible speaks of, that greed actually steals life rather than shares life. And we now know this also scientifically and psychologically as well. Studies show that materialism, so greed, that materialism is linked to higher levels of anxiety and depression. The more you have sometimes, the more you worry about losing what you have. We also read this in 2018, a study of the Journal of Happiness Studies found that those who prioritize wealth and possessions, people who are greedy, report significantly lower life satisfaction and increased mental health struggles. Because greed is a god that demands more and more, and it never leads us into life. Greed steals life rather than shares life. And Jesus is quite clear with this as well. He says this in Matthew. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. He says this, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. But in this verse, what we see is really clear that greed really is a god or an idol or a master. It says there at the end, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money, that it really enslaves us. And we don't even notice it. It's just so much a part of our world. It's like the default setting of our world is in greed. I want to read to you a quote from David Foster Wallace. He's actually an atheist, but he talks about worship, and he talks about greed as well. And he actually seems to understand Jesus, I think, better than a lot of other people may. He says this, in the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. Remember, he doesn't believe in God. He says this, there is no such thing as not worshiping. He writes, everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type worship thing, he says this, is that worshiping anything else, that will pretty much eat you alive. Is that not true? If you follow anything else other than God, he says this. He says it's pretty much anything else will eat you alive. He says, if you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel that you have enough. It's the truth, he says. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when the time and age start showing, he says, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. Worship power, and you'll end up feeling weak and afraid. And you will need ever more power over others to be feeling weak and afraid. Oh, sorry, to numb you from your own fear. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, and you'll end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. And this is the last bit that I really want us to pay attention to. He writes this. He says, but the insidious thing about these forms of worship is not that they're all sinful or evil, although I do think there are some of these things are sinful and evil. He says it's that they are unconscious. They are the default settings. They're the kind of worship you gradually slip into day after day, getting more and more selective about what you see and how you measure value without ever being fully aware that that's what you're doing. It's like the default setting on a computer, right? That the default setting of our world is greed, and greed worms its way into our hearts so easily. I want to give you an example of this, because we can be honest in church, amen? I want to share with you how greed wormed its way into my heart last night, actually. Last night, yes. On a sermon, and on the weekend, when I'm preaching on generosity, I found that greed was a part of my heart. Here's how I discovered this. So last night, Chris and I went out on a date to go see the Toronto Maple Leafs lose, is what we did. Yay. I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, so this may make you want to become a better friend with me or not. I'm unsure about this, but our family has season tickets to the Leafs. So they are actually the oldest season ticket holders in our sections. My great-grandfather bought the tickets, and they've just been passed down, you know, generation to generation. So Chris and I go to, like, one game a year. That's what we do. And we're at this, going to the Leafs game, and we're sitting in Union Station. We grabbed something to eat before we went in to the game. And so we went to Thai Express, got some food together, and we're just eating. And as we're eating, a gentleman who is clearly unhoused comes up to us, and he asks for money for food. My gut reaction, like my default setting, was like, no. Like, I'm not going to do that. Krista, though, has the immediate opposite response, and she really feels that God spoke to her and told her to give him money, so she goes into her wallet instantly and pulls out $20 to give to him. $20 is a lot of money. That's what I thought. And I also thought, that $20 is my money. Please do not be giving it away. We can be honest in church, right? All right, this is where my heart was at. And so we have this little weird exchange. Krista gives the man $20. And I said, but he could go use that for anything or whatever. And Krista's like, I felt God tell me that I need to give him money. And then it hits me. I am preaching on generosity tomorrow. And here I can't seem to let loose $20, right? And I tell Krista this, that I'm preaching on generosity, because she didn't know what I was preaching on. And she's like, you can't make this up, the timing of this. And I was like, no, I just paid $20 for a sermon illustration is basically what I did. But like, I share this with you because it just illustrates how easy it is for greed to become a part of our hearts. And sure enough, the gentleman that Krista gave $20 to went and bought the exact same Thai Express that we did, right? And said, thank you. And I was like, I could have missed out on that. Krista actually felt really great by that act of giving. Because generosity, you might not know this, but generosity actually releases in your brain oxytocin, which makes you feel good. That actually, we are psychologically like wired towards generosity in that way. It'll make you feel good to actually give something away. But what I want to share with you is just how common greed is. I did not think of myself as a greedy person, but when there's a moment to give and to practice generosity, I shied away from it. There's some stuff I need to do in my own heart to work this through. So today, what I want to share with you really, really clearly is that greed is a God that will lead you astray, that life is not measured by how much we own, and that more, follow with me, more does not always mean better. Amen? Like, more doesn't always mean better. And instead, what the Bible asks us to do is not just not practice greed, because that's really hard to not practice greed. You have to practice the opposite, which we've already talked about, is generosity. That if you want to break greed, you actually have to have a habit of generosity. This is what the Bible says about generosity. Listen to this. Principle found in Proverbs, where we read this. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. This is how the Bible talks about generosity. This is the principle here, that when we open ourselves up, when we practice generosity, it's like we open ourselves up also to receiving from God. But when we refuse to practice generosity, when we allow greed, it's like we close down and actually won't be able to receive from God. Proverbs gives us this principle, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy, be closed off, be curmudgeonly, and you will lose everything. He says, the generous will prosper. That's a great verse. The generous will prosper. And so this is really teaching us to live with a posture of generosity, of openness, of a willingness to be giving and sharing, you know, all that we might have. Paul also says something very similar in 2 Corinthians. He says this. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That there's meant to be joy in the act of giving. I tell you, last night at the Leaf game, Krista felt joy in the act of giving. and almost missed out on that because of my own kind of, you know, curmudgeonly spirit at that moment, right? That actually does change your lives. To hear what Paul is saying, he is not saying that we give to get. That is not what is going on here. But he is teaching that when giving leads to receiving, that sharing leads to finding, and that generosity actually allows you to be filled up, and it will change your life. It'll change your finances. It'll change how you live in this world. Generosity is really beautiful, needed, and necessary. Our world always says there is not enough, right? Generosity says no, that we have the ability to actually share with others. That what you know probably deep down is that you will never live a true, full, amazing life through hoarding, stockpiling, or greeding. You'll never live a whole and amazing life. That really, wholeness, generosity, is the way that we experience true life. This has actually also been found, as I said, in scientifically. A study in the University of Michigan found that generous people, get this, generous people live longer, experience less stress, and have a lower blood pressure. That's pretty amazing, right? If you want to live longer, then you actually need to practice the practice of generosity. Or it also helps others, when we do this, it helps others releasing oxytocin, known as the feel-good hormone, reducing anxiety, and boosting overall well-being. And studies have also shown that charitable giving boosts happiness more than just spending money on ourselves. That's all true. It's like they actually know what Jesus wrote when he said, life is not measured by how much you have. Life is not measured by how much you have. Or as Jim Carrey once put it, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it is not the answer. Right? It's not the answer. We know this, I think, deep down if you would think about it. So today, what is my main point? It's probably something that you already know, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of and to make sure that there isn't greed in our hearts. My main point is just this, that greed steals life, but generosity gives life. Generosity creates life. Generosity shares life with those around us. Greed steals life, but generosity gives life. This is my main point here today. And I really want to invite you to actually get into the habit of us being people who are generous. So what does this mean for us practically today? There's always going to be a challenge, as you know, right? Today, I'm going to challenge you to be giving and to be generous people. But do not worry, we're not having like an extra offering or something like that. No. We want this to be a heart posture within us. And so today, to talk about even what this looks like practically and how it can change your life, today I want to invite forward someone to interview them a little bit. They are somebody who is amazing, joyous. They are somebody who has this deep sense of peace and wisdom, and that's John Mack. So can we give John Mack a huge round of applause as he comes to the stage here today? John is our treasurer here, and he's somebody who lives that generous spirit. And so today I wanted to ask him a few questions just around generosity and how we might be able to practice it together. So,
hi, everyone.
Yeah. And hey. Remember my rule. If somebody other than myself is speaking, you all have to do something. Smile is the answer. You have to smile. Yeah.
Hey, I was just thinking, what's the opposite then of greeting?
Oh, what's the opposite of greeting? Generosity-ing?
Generousing, yeah.
Generousing.
Two new words. Generousing. Yeah.
And so today, I want to kind of begin with, is just, John, why is generosity important to you?
Yeah, it is very important for Don and I. So we have been abundantly blessed in our lives, and we truly believe that with these blessings, we're not meant to just store them or stash them away. We have a number of things that we're very passionate about. And with these blessings, we feel that it's our responsibility to pass this through and to share the abundance of that good blessings and the fortunes that we've been blessed with. And so we want to share that in giving, in living a life of generosity, we get great joy out of giving. And the more we give, the more joy we actually receive. And that's a blessing unto itself. But what we also want to share is that in that joy, we find that our relationships have grown and have strengthened. Our relationships with Christ, our relationship with each other, our relationship with our family, with our friends, and with our community. And so giving and living generously has been a tremendous blessing in our lives.
And don't miss that, right? How generosity, as you shared, really impacts every single area of our life. It's not that just generosity impacts finances. It's friendships. It's a relationship with God. It's all of that. Mm-hmm. And I would say, too, you're one of the most joyous people I know. So I'm glad that joy comes out. Second kind of question for you is just how has practicing generosity changed you?
Yeah, I want to share three thoughts with you actually on this. And when we talk about giving and generosity, maybe I use them interchangeably, but you know, we're talking about our time and our talents and our treasures, all three of these things that I think we all have an abundance of in our lives today. And you know, the first thing that I wanted to share was that giving and being generous in our lives, in my life, has given me a tremendous sense of peace. Mm-hmm. So a lot of chaos, a lot of turmoil for all of us every day of our lives, but I truly have a sense of peace in knowing the way that that we've been governing our lives, and that's been very rewarding. But I also wanted to share that when you start to live and think about a life of generosity and a life of giving, it shapes your heart very differently. Mm-hmm. And God actually starts to open up doors for you that you may never have anticipated. And I asked if I could share a story. I should ask again, can I share, or am I going to go too long?
No. I want to hear your story again.
Yeah. So I'll share a quick story with you. I retired 5 years ago from the world of banking. And if you would have asked me what my top 10 things to do would be in my retirement, I can absolutely assure you that none of them would have been around street ministry and the work that I'm currently doing with the drug addicted and the unhoused in our community. But about 4 years ago, God opened up this door, and I started to come out to the Dream Center. And I should share with you as well, I'm not a social worker by any means. I have no experience in pastoring or ministry. I have no experience in dealing with kids on the street, in trauma or in addiction. But I was led to go to this area, and God had opened up this door for me. I didn't realize it at the time. It was not even on my radar, but over the last 4 years, this has been literally the most rewarding thing that I have ever done in my life. And so I wanted to share with you that when you are open to a life of giving, when you're open to generosity, God can do amazing things in your life, and that's been very encouraging for me as well. And the one final thing that I would share with you on this is that we probably all have days where we are just physically and mentally exhausted. And there's probably days that we all go through, and I go through them, I can tell you for sure, where I just don't feel like I have anything left in the tank. I don't feel like today would be the day that I can give, that I can be generous in my life. But what I've learned actually is that in those moments, that's the perfect time. That's the perfect time to think about generosity, because that's the time that you must lean into God. You must get strength from God to get through that moment, to get through that day. And in those days where I've been physically or mentally exhausted and I don't want to go out into the streets, and I do go out, those have been some of the most rewarding and incredible moments that I've had in my life. And again, that's just the reliance of God and getting the strength from God to get through that moment, and then having Him do what He does and putting people in your path. So I wanted to share those three things with you.
Thanks, John. Yeah. One last question for you here today. What would you say to someone who hasn't maybe tried living a generous life yet?
Yeah, so What I would acknowledge is that this is a kooky time that we live in.
That's a great term. A kooky time.
I mean, politics aside, which is a whole thing, even before all of this, these were really difficult times. Housing prices out of control, food prices as high as we've ever seen them. There are so many reasons that if I said to you, you need to consider sacrificial giving, you could say to me, yes, but housing costs are taking up all of my money. And I would say, but you have a house, right? And you could say, well, food costs are taking up so much of my money. And I would say that's true, but you have food. And the reality that we live in is that we have an abundance. And many of you have been to countries that are less developed, where you see that they have virtually nothing or very little. And I can share with you stories about people who have the least that honestly have the most. And so when we bring it back to a conversation here, we are abundantly blessed to be here with the things that we have. God has really truthfully blessed all of us. And there is never a bad time to consider sacrificial giving. There is never a bad time to give the first fruits in your life to God. There's never a bad time to trust God faithfully and wholly and give to God first so that you can watch his transformative powers work through you in front of you. And this is a journey that I think everyone, if you're not on it right now, should experience, because that intimacy that you can develop with God by putting God first in all circumstances and letting God do what he has always planned to do in your life and watching how that transforms is unbelievable. And that's what I would say. You know, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And I don't want to take your thunder for the closing
verse.
That's
fine, go ahead.
But I would just say that this is a God who can do more than we could ever ask or imagine. And I would encourage everybody to follow that path of sacrificial giving.
All right. Thank you, John. Can we give him a huge round of applause for being willing to share here this morning? So to close today, what I want to do is I want to give to you three practical ways to put this sermon kind of into practice. And they are recognizing the source, start giving regularly, and trusting in God. And the first thing I want to invite you, just as a way of practically living out this message of generosity, is whether you have a lot or a little, what the Bible teaches is that everything we have is a gift from God. Not like some things, but everything we have is a gift from God. And that this is something for us to remember and to actually be practicing gratitude for and generosity out of, that all we have is God's, actually. James is really clear with this, where he says this. It's the Apostle James. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down with the Father of heavenly lights. Everything we receive comes in and through from God. And so the first thing I want to invite you to do is just to remember, whatever you have, whether a lot or a little, it all comes in and through God. The second thing I want to invite you to do, to actually practice, to make this sermon kind of practical, is I want to invite you to really start to give regularly. That generosity, and this is just true, generosity needs to be a habit to break the power of greed within our lives. That we need to make it a habit, an ongoing thing. Giving to one person sometime, one time, does not make you generous yet. It needs to become a habit, a posture, a way of continually growing closer to God through sacrificial giving. And so for that, what I want to invite you to do is I want to invite you to actually practice an Old Testament principle, which is the practice of tithing. Tithing is something we see in the Old Testament where God commands his people really to give 10% of whatever they take in. That the first fruits, meaning the first thing that they actually harvest, that will go back to God. And being a regular giver is a way to actually practice this here in more modern terms. That with whatever comes in, that we would take a part of whatever comes in and to give it back to God. So to you who maybe hasn't started to give regularly, I want to invite you and challenge you to actually give giving a try, to actually give generosity a try. I promise you, if you give generosity a try, it will change your heart, it'll change your relationships, it'll actually change even your finances, that this one habit will impact everything. That's what John shared, how it does. It opens you up to so much that God has for us, rather than kind of closing us down. That basically what I want to say to you, that I believe that Jesus also teaches, is that regular, ongoing generosity will make your life better. It'll make the lives of those around you better as well. And I know if you haven't been in the habit of giving, 10% can kind of seem like a lot. So maybe then for you, you start at 5% or 2%. Just start giving and making it a habit, because it will make your life better. As Jesus says, life is not so much about what you own. That instead, really life is found in and through generosity and giving to people. So the last thing I want to share with you is not only that everything comes from God to give regularly, the last thing I want to share with you is also what John mentioned as well, is that generosity is an act of faith and trust. That when we practice generosity, what we're really doing is we're giving back to God some of what he has given to us. And it's an act of trusting God for his continued provision as well. That when we give, it's a way of saying, God, I trust in you, your provision, your favor, and your grace to be with me, even in uncertain times. And John is right. We live in a little bit of a kooky world right now. That's going to be my new way to describe it. I've shared before that it feels like shaky or wobbly, but kooky is a much better way to go with it. And I know that is true. And I know that means that things are hard and things are difficult. But what I also know is what John also shared, is that generosity is the thing that our world needs right now. Our world needs more people who are generous, not greedy people, but giving, sharing, life-giving people. This is what I want to invite you into. So today, what is my main point? My main point is really simple. It's that greed steals life, but generosity gives life. It gives life to you and it gives life to those around you. As I said, Krista felt great after giving that individual some money last night. And that individual also felt great. There was all of a sudden then a sharing of goodness and life and love in a simple act of generosity. So today, practically what I want to invite you to do is to recognize the source, that everything comes from God, to start giving regularly, and lastly, to trust in God, that giving is an act of trust. So it's my challenge this week, because there is always a challenge. My challenge is pretty simple. It's simply to live generously, giving regularly, trusting in God that everything comes from Him. It's to give generously, giving regularly, trusting in God, and remembering that everything comes from Him. And today, if you want to take that step, I think it's the right time to do it. As John said, there's never a bad time to start giving. There's never a bad time to start acting generous. There's never a bad time to start putting this into practice. And that's what I want to invite you to do this week. So with that, would you join with me in prayer here this morning? God, I ask, might you help us to live generous lives. If there is greed within us, Lord, in our hearts in any way, I hope would you help us to notice it, to see it, and to break that greed through being people who are generous. Would you help us to continue to follow you this week, especially in this generous posture? Would you help us to be people who share life with those around us? And we ask, would you be with us? We pray this all in the wonderful name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.